Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
My name is Dave Denniston, your host, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, welcome back to our monthly fireside chat with a physician to get to know their journey, their joys, and their struggles with finances and outside of finances. Now, my friends, this show, it's not always about actionable content. It is, however, a chance for you to see behind the curtains, to walk in another person's shoes and experience their lives. Our next guest, she is a physician, she's a surgeon, she's a yoga health coach, she's an author and overall health and wellness expert. She is known as the holistic podiatrist of Southern California, and she has been interviewed and quoted in a whole bunch of prominent publications. She says one of her greatest strengths is her ability to combine Eastern and Western medicine to treat the whole patient, and to create individualized treatment plans, yoga sequences, and meal plans for her clients and her patients. She's the creator of the Body Wisdom Coaching Program, where she helps women with healthy habits, meditation, and nutrition. And she's been featured on all kinds of places like Bloomberg, Business Week, Yahoo, USA Today, US News and World Report, and so much more. Well, I can't wait to hear about this journey. Please help me welcome Dr. Michelle Summers Cologne. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm so glad that you are here. I think these chats, I just enjoy them so much because it has a chance to share with all of my audience that's listening your wisdom and your journey. And I know for you, it's been quite a ride, right? There's been a lot of transitions that you've gone through. First, let's just take a step back to the past. Let's step in with you for a moment. First, tell us a bit more about you. Where'd you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Well, I actually grew up in Northern California, but my dad was in the Army, so we were Army brats, and we moved around a lot until the age of 6, and that's when we settled up in Sacramento. And it was, you know, a nice little suburb at that time. It's really grown a lot since then, but it was a nice, quiet little town that we lived in right outside the Air Force Base, and there were a lot of kids that were also military kids, so we all kind of, you know, bonded over that and having our dads being gone and that kind of thing, and we're able to walk to all three of the schools, the elementary, the middle school, and the high school. We're all within a couple blocks of each other, so it was a nice little small town childhood.
Absolutely. Well, and I imagine, I always think of medicine, I think of the military, the first 10 years of medicine is so much like that, isn't it? I mean, you're moving from place to place, you're kind of never settled. I got to imagine there's a lot of correlation there, right?
Yeah, and your life is very structured, and, you know, there's not a lot of free time, too, during that time.
So in a sense, once you got into medicine, it was just what you're always used to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and tell me about growing up. You know, in this podcast, we focus on money, we focus on finances, and it's always fascinating to me to see what's shaped, what's molded perceptions around money. So tell us real quick, Michelle, what has been your biggest influences related to money?
Well, I think for me, it was really my mother. She had to hold down the fort because my dad was gone a lot on different assignments. There was one time where he was gone for 2 years at a time. And she really had to, you know, show us like how to budget your money and how to, you know, take care of all of your bills and how to make things stretch and how to work. She worked a couple jobs at a couple different times during my childhood. And so she really showed me, you know, how to work hard for your money and really how to balance your budget and those kind of things. And even though we didn't have a lot of money growing up, I think that she really showed me what I wanted in life and that I maybe didn't want to have to work 2 jobs like she did and that I could, you know, do more and have more if, you know, I took certain paths.
Interesting. And so your dad was gone on tour quite a bit, or was this more kind of peacetime growing up? I mean, what was that like? Was he just not around a whole lot?
Well, he was gone because of his military assignment. So when he was assigned to Germany for 2 years, a lot of the families went with the dad to Germany, and they had American schools, and they lived on the base, on the military base there. But my mom didn't want to go to Germany, so we stayed behind with my mom. And my dad was in Germany for 2 years on his assignment, and we stayed behind. So that was one of the times where he was gone for a really long time. He always came back when his assignment was over, but it was definitely interesting seeing how they were able to balance and juggle everything with him being away so much.
Well, and I got to imagine, I think of a lot of military bases, and we see a lot of military families that struggle. I've had the pleasure of spending some time around Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, and the military guys, I mean, once they kind of make it to 20 years, they're good, but those first 20 years are so hard on the family for so many reasons.
Yeah, and one of the things that my mom taught us, because I only had sisters, we were all girls in the family, was she told us, don't marry into the military. She said, unless you want to move every 2 years and not make friends and not be able to, you know, stay in one house for a long time. But it was hard on her. So
tell me about this transition. You're growing up in Sacramento area. Was medicine something that you always just loved and had a passion for, or tell us about the journey?
Yeah, I realized at one point that I didn't want to work two jobs like my mom, and I wanted to have more and not struggle as much as my mom and dad were struggling. So I really started thinking at a really early age. I think it's kind of funny now when I think back about it. I must have been about 7 or 8, and at that time, we didn't have all the technology and see all of this, you know, economy, you know, changing before our eyes. At that time, all I really knew about money was that doctors made a lot of money and lawyers made a lot of money. So I knew that I was going to either be a doctor or a lawyer. I just had to decide which one. So that's when I started, you know, kind of like reading about it and deciding what I thought would fit better with my personality, what I wanted to do. And at some point, maybe I was around 10, I decided that I didn't want to be a lawyer, so I was going to be a doctor.
Isn't that decided at such a young age? Oh, my gosh. Did that change?
It's really funny.
Did that change? I mean, you're 10 years old. I mean, I have a 10-year-old daughter going on 11, and she says she wants to be a chemical engineer. And, you know, it's like kids change from wanting to be a firefighter to an astronaut to a doctor to whatever. Was that it from that moment for you? Or as you went to high school and college, did that change at all?
No, that was pretty much it for me. The only thing was I didn't know what type of doctor I wanted to be, so it was kind of like when other people are changing their mind over their career, I was just changing my mind over what kind of doctor. At first I thought maybe I'd be an eye doctor, and then I thought I wanted to be a pediatrician, and, you know, I went through different phases until I finally decided that, you know, I wanted to go into surgery, and then I went into foot and ankle surgery.
Isn't that something? Huh. So were you shadowing doctors at all from the time you were even in high school, or what was that like?
No, I didn't actually start shadowing until I was in college. So that's when I started at the VA. I started shadowing some doctors there. And then when I was home on summer vacations, I would shadow some different doctors in the Sacramento area. And I shadowed a podiatrist. And I really enjoyed that rotation. And there were a couple things that the doctor did that I said, well, if I become a podiatrist, I'm not going to do that procedure, because that procedure looks kind of scary. But, of course, you know, I got over that little fear with time.
Wow. And did you go to college in Southern California, or did you Northern California? Where did you go to college?
Yeah, Northern California. Went to UC Berkeley.
Went to Berkeley. Okay. And what was the environment like around Berkeley, you know, in terms of medicine and everything that was going on at the time? Think of Berkeley as being such a progressive school.
Yeah, it is. And it was really fun. I mean, it was such a great place to go to school, even though, you know, a lot of people think it's so radical. But really, that was, you know, a long time ago, even before my time. But once I got there, there were a lot of political things going on and a lot of student groups to be involved in, and I mainly joined the different groups that were around medicine, like the pre-med club and things like that. And so I was able to be really active and be around a lot of other kids that were into the same things I was in, and did some volunteer work at the children's hospital and things like that. So it was really fun. But the actual college lifestyle there was a little different. You know, it's a lot different than growing up in Sacramento, the small town at the time. And then being in that college town was really different. But it was really fun because I got to meet so many different types of people, meet so many different cultures that I wasn't exposed to in Sacramento. So I wouldn't change it for anything.
Oh, I just love that area. I grew up in middle school going in San Ramon across the hills from Berkeley. And, you know, I think the Bay Area is just such a melting pot, always has been. It's just a beautiful place. I always said if it wasn't for the earthquakes and the high home prices, that's the place I'd want to be. But you ended up going down to Southern California at some point. Were you in medical school in the Bay Area too, or where'd you go to medical school?
Well, I ended up going to medical school in Florida, of all places. So, I went all the way across to the other side of the country and ended up in podiatry school in Miami. And I was there for 4 years. And again, I really liked it. It was a totally different environment from anything I had ever been exposed to before. There were so many things to do, but I was in medical school, so. Like my first year, I spent all of my time studying. I really didn't go out and have fun and do all these fun things that you could imagine you could do in Miami. And once I realized that I didn't have to study as hard as I was studying to still, you know, be a good student, then my second year until I finished up there, I was able to have a little bit more fun.
Well, and I hear so much now about a lot of medical students just struggling. Even in medical school with things like burnout. Was there a moment as you're going through this process that you felt kind of struggle or burnout as you were going to medical school and in residency?
Yeah, actually that's a funny question because it's also related to money. I was all through my undergrad college at Berkeley, I didn't have to take out any student loans because I got a lot of grant money and scholarship money. So that was good. So I went into medical school without any student debt, but most of my medical school was financed through student loans, and that got very stressful because there was just some political stuff going on in the world with our president with student loans not getting approved. And so there was about half of our class or maybe two-thirds of our entering freshman class that got all their student loans approved on time, and there was about a third of us that didn't. And so I was in that third that didn't, and it was just random. It wasn't like based on anything. It was just they made some cutoffs, and some people made it into the cutoff and some people didn't. And we didn't get our money, and so it was like for me, where my parents really couldn't afford to pay that much of my education, it was a real big struggle for me to not get my student loans until – I don't think I got them until maybe February. So that's like almost, your school year is almost over, you know. And so it got really stressful for me, and I just started, it started affecting my health. And I was still very excited about school and everything else I was doing, but it was just the stress of it was starting to really get to me. And I was at one point wondering if I was going to be able to handle it. And then the student loans finally got approved, and then everything, all that stress kind of, you know, was released, and I was able to start, you know, feeling better again and not so stressed out. But it did affect my health for a little while. I was getting gastritis and reflux and all that stuff you get with the nervous stomach, and that was probably my hardest stressful moment in medical school.
That is such a tough moment. I can't imagine that. I mean, you're sitting on pins and needles. You're working so hard. I mean, you're so dedicated to doing all that. And gosh, that's incredibly difficult. And I know debt is just this huge issue that I talk a lot about on the podcast. And there's so many physicians that come out now with $250,000, $300,000, $350,000, some even $400,000 in debt. And I see so many colleagues, so many friends that struggle with this. So as you're getting out of residency, as you're getting into practice, how did that debt work for you? Were you able to get rid of it quickly? What has that been happening?
Yeah, that was another stressful moment. once you get, you don't have to pay it back when you're in your residency. It's deferred. And then once you finish your residency, you can also defer it again for a certain amount of time. But then you have to start paying it back. And I think I deferred it as much as I could. And I didn't make a lot in my residency. Some residencies make a lot more money than than I did at mine. But I barely made enough to, pay my bills when I was a resident. So just getting out of that residency, I wasn't able to start making any payments on it yet. So I deferred it for the final one, and then I did a consolidation, and so I wouldn't have so many different payments going to the different loans.
Yeah.
So it was one big lump sum, and the payments were about what you would pay for an apartment. So it was almost like, having another mortgage or another two apartments that you're paying for, basically.
Yes.
So I just started, just making my payments every single month. And then at one point, when I was able to sell my house and we moved from one house to another, we made a good amount of money on the house. I was able to put down a bunch of that money on my student loans and brought payments way down to about a third of what they were. And then I finally paid them all off.
You must have celebrated that moment, right?
Yeah, that was a big, I think I celebrated the whole year.
What'd you do for fun? Tell us about that. What'd you do for fun to celebrate paying off that debt load you had?
I just remember going out with friends, and like every time I would go out with my friends and we would like toast, put our glasses up to toast any little thing, like someone had a birthday or someone had an anniversary. And every time I would say, and I want to toast to paying off my student loan this year. And I would do that every single time, I think, for that entire year. And then it just got to be like really silly joke, but everyone was like, yay, Michelle paid off her loan,
That is so awesome. And I think it's so important. I think that's such a great point that when you do these kind of things financially, celebrating the moment, celebrating the year is a good thing to do. You only live once, and to make such a big dent and make it happen is so exciting. So that is awesome.
All right. Well, let's take a pause here for a second and go to our commercial break. Well, if you are like some members of my audience, you are committed to being an amazing doctor and succeeding at life. But the truth is, you've never received financial training during medical school, and you struggle with enough time to do it all. So if you are someone who hasn't really taken the time to take the approaches that we talk about in the podcast, and you want to take time to crack the code, you want to hit the sweet spot financially, through only the end of August, I am picking a handful of people and doing a diagnostic strategy session for each of them individually. And this is where we take a look at your finances, give you some high-level ideas on what could work for you, and things that could help you hit that sweet spot financially. So if you're interested in applying, you can email me at dave@daviddeniston.com or visit the podcast website at www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching. And don't let this podcast be like other ones where you have great information, you get these new ideas, but you never actually complete anything. If you're sick and tired of doing that, it is time to get on one of these calls with me and get yourself financially to the next level. To apply now, email me, dave@daviddeniston.com, or visit www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching. Again, that's www.drfreedompodcast.com/coaching. And now back to the podcast.
Now, outside of debt, which we talk a lot about in the podcast, when you think of money, what sort of problems are costing physicians, your friends, your colleagues, the most money right now?
Well, that's such a big question because of the way healthcare is right now. But I think because of all of the government regulations, people, like colleagues of mine, are having to spend so much money on being compliant and having the right software and having just everything, you know, by the books because of all the new regulations that have come out with HIPAA and all these different things in the past couple of years. That really seems to be costing my colleagues the most money right now. And it's
ICD-10, right?
Yeah, and ICD-10. And it's just so many things, they all add up. And I've heard of people just deciding that they just didn't want to practice medicine anymore because it's costing them too much to run their business. And they're just retiring early.
Wow. Well, and I think what's so cool about you is here you are, you're not just a podiatrist. You know, you're doing some other stuff. And I've talked with a few podiatrists that are in Southern California in particular, and they're working for hospital systems. They're barely getting paid six figures, which, heck, if they were in North Dakota, they'd be getting paid like $260,000 a year. In addition to your medical practice, you also have a body wellness coaching program. So that is awesome. It's something that it says to me, at least, you're not just depending on treating calluses and bunions and doing the stuff podiatrists do. So how did that start?
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure. There's a couple things that have come into play. One, I saw all these changes in regulations that were coming about for physicians and for medical offices. And at the same time that was happening, Medicare was starting to cut our payments and we're getting paid less for the same amount of work. I'm sure that phrase has come up in everyone's vocabulary in medicine. And not only that, but in California in particular, a lot of our patients were getting forced into HMOs. So we're losing a lot of patients that way. So we're losing patients, losing amount of money per procedure, and we're having all these regulations. And so I kind of saw that coming maybe about 4 years ago before it actually started. They gave us plenty of warning, like, this is going to happen in 2 years. This is going to happen in 1 year. This is going to happen in 6 months. So, I mean, if you kind of follow the timeline, you could see what was coming. But most of my colleagues didn't really change anything in their practice other than complying to all the new regulations. And so when I saw that happening, and I have a solo practice in California, and I'm not affiliated with any big major medical groups and hospitals, I said, okay, I need to do something in my practice so that when all of those cuts start happening, I'm still going to be able to survive. I do not want to be one of those doctors that's forced into retiring early when I'm not ready to retire. Mm-hmm. So I started looking into different ways to bring in different streams of revenue for my practice that would still be services that people need. And so I started, because I also was on my own health journey, which is another part of it that happened kind of at the same time, where I had gotten really sick and I was going to all the best doctors and specialists in the area and no one was helping me get better. I started doing my own research into different types of medicine, like Eastern medicine. And that's when I got involved with yoga and Ayurveda, and I was able to cure myself with these other types of medicines. And so I decided at that point that was going to be another thing that I was going to incorporate into my practice, that I could start bringing in new patients and new clients that needed these types of things and that were looking for it. And so I started really changing my practice at that point, and it was right kind of in line with that timeline. So it was coming at me from different areas, and you know when you hear the message in different ways and it all kind of clicks together, that's kind of what happened.
Wow. So you're going through this health journey yourself as a physician, which is partially frustrating, right? I mean, it's like physician heal thyself, and you're struggling, but you see kind of the writing on the wall, and you end up starting this whole new business. What do you think today? There's so much talk about burnout, assembly line medicine, and a lot of physicians, with obviously, especially coming out of residency, having a lot of debt, you know, they feel forced to join a larger practice. Is that something you think that physicians can still do today, is start their own practice?
I definitely think it's something they can do. It really boils down to, what do you want your life to look like? For me, it was all about lifestyle and how did I want to live my life. Like, I wanted to be a mom, so I wanted to have flexibility with my schedule and my hours, so that's why I wanted to be in private practice. I didn't want to be forced to work for someone else and work for these big corporations and hospitals where I had to be at their beck and call and work on their schedule as a mom. So I would say to someone to really look at what do they want their life to look like, because I've also talked to other female doctors who went into, let's say, cardiothoracic surgery or neurosurgery, and their schedule is so crazy. They're on call all the time, and they get called away in the middle of the night for these trauma cases, and they are trying to be a mom to, like, a newborn baby, and they can't even be there, and the baby sees more of their babysitter than they do of their mother, and they're, like, this one friend of mine, she was crying on my shoulder. She was like, I don't know what to do. I never see my baby. And so you really need to look at what you want your life to be like. Even though you're a doctor, doesn't mean that your life has to be like this. And so looking at how you really want your life to be, then that should help you decide on where you want to work.
Well, I know a physician I was chatting with that had read one of my articles and emailed me, and this particular physician, bless her heart, you know, they used to live in California, I think it was, and they had a big house and kids were going to private school, and they really had to make a certain amount of money to support their lifestyle and pay the student loans off and all that kind of stuff. And what they decided to do was similar to yourself, was they sold their house, you know, paid off some of the debts. They moved all the way to Alaska, and she ended up doing locums. And now they're totally debt free. They're just loving life. You know, she can work as much or as little as she wants and be there with the family. And gosh, I just am so proud of them for what they did. So proud of you for what you're doing, because you can really make your practice to fit your lifestyle. What I'd like to switch back to real quick, Michelle, is talking more about this system that you've developed, this holistic medicine. So tell us more about that in terms of what are you doing on a daily basis? What does that look like?
So in addition to my regular patients that I see for the regular podiatry issues and surgery and diabetics, I also do health coaching. So I can do health coaching basically anywhere in the world, because I could do it over the phone or on Skype. I can do it in group classes. And so I've run group classes over the phone. We've done it through Skype, and I can actually teach the things that they need to know about whether they want to go into yoga or whether they're a diabetic struggling to reverse their diabetes. So I have a couple of different areas that I focus on, and I teach them what I need to teach them in a group setting, and then we do one-on-one sessions where we talk over the phone, and sometimes we talk in person if they're local. And it's really been a really great experience for me, because I get so much back from them, talking to them one-on-one, and to see their progress and their journey over, let's say, a 10 or 12-week period that I spend with them. You can really see someone's progress when you're talking to them every single week, versus maybe a patient that comes into my clinic every 2 months for the same problem, and I treat them and then they leave. It's so much different to see and talk to someone every single week over a 10 to 12 week period to see their progress. It's been really enlightening and just more inspiring for me to do more of it, because there's so much need for it and so many people are searching for these types of things, like how to get healthier without taking medicine, and, you know, how to reverse their diabetes and not get being stuck on all of these medications that their doctors are giving them.
Mm. Well, I got to imagine what an emotional reward for you. It sounds like, you know, there's a financial component to it most certainly, but you really sounds like you are really getting to know your patients and really feel like you're making a difference. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. And in terms of physicians, you know, one of the things that I brought up here and I'll bring up again is this concept of burnout. for physicians that might be interested in trying to find their inner peace and get back to the love of medicine. Is that something that you're currently working with at all? Or what's that been like for you with seeing so many of your friends suffering from burnout and some of these issues?
Yeah, I mean, I have dealt with it a little bit in the past, not recently, but I think when I was maybe stuck in that mindset that a lot of my colleagues are in right now, where this is all, you know, it's not going to get better, it's just getting harder every year. When you start getting stuck in that mindset, and it's really easy to do because of all the changes that we talked about already in healthcare, but that's really what kind of got me into burnout, was being stuck in that mindset. So I think really getting out of that and getting back into an abundancy mindset, maybe something that we had when we were younger and we had all these, you know, nice visions of what it was going to be like before we got into the day-to-day stuff. Getting back to that phase where we're not jaded and we're not just thinking about the struggles day-to-day, but really thinking about how we can change the world in terms of maybe it's just a couple patients at a time or one patient at a time, but we can really do some big things and we don't need to really focus on the daily struggles, rather focus on the bigger vision.
Absolutely. No, that's a really great, great, great piece of advice. And if there's a physician out there listening that maybe they're working for a big hospital system, or maybe they even have a private practice and they're listening to your schedule and your dream and what you're doing and the impact that you're making on patients, what advice would you give to that person to say, man, maybe I could do something of related, not the same thing that you're doing, obviously, but something of a similar ilk. What advice would you give to them?
I would tell them to really think about their big why, and not the why. When you ask some people their why, they say, oh, my why is my children. That I understand. We pretty much all have that when we're parents. But I mean their own personal why of why did they get into medicine? And why are they still in medicine? And not the monetary aspect of it, I have to keep up the lifestyle, but like their deep reason for wanting to be in medicine and what it is that they want to change with the world or with their patients. And when you start really getting into that, you can start developing something that you can bring to the world that people need, because there's so many things people need. And right now, a lot of them are just getting, you know, basic services, and we can bring them so much more. All of us physicians have so much knowledge in so many different areas. If you can just focus on the one thing that you really love, the one thing you love to do the most with your patients, and is there a way you can bring it into the world in a bigger way, then that can really start getting the creative juices flowing and really help you develop something that you can share, and you can also get the reward of the gratification, but also of the monetary reward as well.
Absolutely. Well, and the common theme that I see through a lot of physicians is they're lifelong learners. You know, they're constantly trying to improve and get better in the huge majority of cases, and they're looking for the next thing. They're looking for the new thing to learn. Now, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think most of us are lifelong learners.
Absolutely. Well, and I think in looking to these kinds of things, I would just encourage more people to think about what that may be for them. As Michelle said, to find out your why, your passion. Why are you in medicine? How do you want to impact lives? And Michelle, I think your story is just so inspirational in terms of what you're doing and some of this new stuff and the motivation that you're finding for yourself. And we're running out of time in this interview. But as we wrap it up, I'd like you to ponder about this question for a sec. So let's say you're talking to another physician, and you're going to give them a gift, a CD, a DVD, a podcast, a course, some sort of resource. Let's consider three kind of different age groups. So you're talking to a med student. What would you give to them?
I would give a book that really helped me a lot. It's called The Slight Edge, and it focuses on different areas of your life, and basically it shows you that just making small little baby steps in different areas of your life on a daily basis will get you to that bigger goal at the end. Because I know as a med student, sometimes it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so this book really helps you see that you can actually get there by making these small changes every day.
And what about to a resident or a young physician just starting to practice? What gift would you give to them?
I would give them Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. He's one of my business idols. I love him so much. But this is the first book that I read when I was developing a business plan for my new business. And it basically just shows you how if you have a great idea and you have something that you want to get out to the world, if you're that passionate about it, just go out there and crush it. And it basically takes you through step by step in how to do that. And I think it's very, very inspiring for someone who's just getting started.
That's Gary V's everywhere right now, isn't he? He's getting on network TV and everything. Well, what about to one of your peers, someone that's been practicing 10, 15, 20 years? What kind of gift would you give to them?
So someone that's been practicing for a while who's looking to start something new, and one thing I want to add about that is as physicians, we weren't really taught how to run a business or any business tools in med school and in college, unless we also studied like an MBA on the side, which most of us didn't. So I would actually give them the gift of B-School, which is run by Marie Forleo. And what B-School did for me, it did so much for me. It has such a great community, but it's like a three-month course, online course. And what it did for me is it really opened my eyes up to the possibilities of what I could create. And the other thing it did for me it really showed me that I was really undervaluing my services and how I really need to step back and look at what I'm offering to the world and raise all my prices.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a great thing. Actually, Marie is someone that I've listened to off and on, and she really has practical, applicable knowledge. I've never gotten that course, but definitely I look forward to checking that out at some point. Now, there's so much we could talk about, but in the interest of time, any closing thoughts you think fellow physicians should be thinking of, that the people listening to this podcast?
Well, just to not get discouraged in just the healthcare system in general right now, and just to really focus on your unique gift that you have, because we all have it. And even if it's someone that is in a hospital setting or that is working for an HMO or a corporation, you can still stand out from the crowd and you can still bring more to the program than what you're given. So just to really, you know, make everything unique and stand out from the crowd.
Awesome. And I'm sure there's going to be people listening to this, Michelle. They're more curious about perhaps even joining your coaching program or learning more about you and what you do. So people have more questions. Where can they find you? How can they get in contact with you?
They can find me on my website. It's drmichelle.com, and that's D-R-M-I-C-H-E-L-E. And I do have all my information there on my coaching program. And I'm also going to be working with physicians later this year in helping them get their coaching program started so that they can spread their word and teach what they're teaching online and reach the global community.
Cool. Well, tell us more about that. What are you going to be doing with that coaching program?
Basically, some of the things we talked about here. So really helping other doctors who are looking to create their own programs and kind of give them the structure and the plan, the business plan that was given to me by my mentors, so that they can start getting their information and content out to the world in a way that works and in a way that is engaging with their audience, so that they can start building their community online and reaching more people.
Really, really cool. And same website, the drmichele.com. Best way to get a hold of you there. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much for being with us, Michelle.
Thank you. It was awesome.
All right. Well, this is Dave Denniston, and I just want to say thank you so much to Michelle for being with us. And in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, I would love to tell your story. It would be my honor to host you on the next podcast. I know we can learn more from your journey, and it will help other physicians. After all, who better to speak to a physician than another physician? So I think there's going to be some awesome stuff Michelle left for us here today. I'm going to make sure to link everything she mentioned on the show notes at drfreedompodcast.com. If you have any questions, make sure to contact me, Dave at daviddenniston.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Remember, my friends, remember to slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. Also, if you gain some value out of this podcast, I would be eternally grateful if you could just take 5 minutes, review it on iTunes, review it on Google Play. The reviews help more and more physicians become aware of this podcast. And if for some reason you didn't gain any value, please let me know what I can do to serve you and help you gain value in the future. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe. Check in again soon. Have a good one.